The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson.
I'm Eugenia Sumedusechi.
And the headlines. Catholic Bishops Conference, GJA, Judicial Council and others condemn alleged threats on country's judges. Government asks security agencies to crack down on persons who make vitriolic comments to maintain national security. Deputy Food and Agriculture Minister says Ghana's poultry are safe for consumption. Protesters in Zimbabwe clash with police, and former GFA Chairman Ben Kofi passes on. The news in detail. The Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference has condemned threats on members of the judiciary allegedly made by two panelists on an Accra-based private radio station. The Bishops' Conference said any attack on the judiciary, who are the custodians of the law, is an attack on the freedom and security of the country. In a statement signed by its president, Most Reverend Joseph Osaibosu, the conference said it is worrying that on a daily basis, some panelists on radio programs and callers continue to make unguarded comments and contributions instead of discussing issues that will benefit the development of the country. Such situations, the statement said, are contributing immensely to the rising political temperature in the country in the run-up to this year's election. The conference expressed the hope that the BNI will thoroughly investigate the matter and the right course of action taken against the alleged panelists. The group urged all Ghanaians to preach peace and unity to move the country forward, while those seeking political office learn to speak words which promote harmony. The Ghana Journalists Association has condemned the two panelists alleged to have threatened the lives of judges in the country during a discussion program on an Accra-based radio station. In a statement in Accra, the association said it finds such intimidation of the judiciary, who are final arbiters of justice, totally unacceptable, and called on the National Media Commission and the National Communication Authority to investigate the matter and ensure that the law takes its course to serve as a deterrent to persons contemplating such undemocratic practices and irresponsible behavior, especially during this election year. The GJA said though the judiciary is certainly not above reproach, people with grievances must take to lay down procedures rather than adopt such Machiavellian tactics. It said such crude methods of intimidation should not be tolerated, since they have the potential to undermine the democratic process and endanger the peace which is so vital in an election year. The GJA once again draws the attention of all stakeholders, including the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, GIBA, to ensure that operators of broadcasting stations avoid such intemperate behavior and infuse greater responsibility in terms of civility, decorum, and circumspection on the airways in particular, and the media in general. Still on the issue, the Judicial Council says it considers comments made against some members of the judiciary as treacherous. The council took the position at a meeting which was attended by the Interior Minister, Prosper Bani, Attorney General, and Minister of Justice, Marietta Brewer Apiaopong. The council described the statements allegedly made by the two social commentators as a blatant attack on the judiciary, which has the potential to undermine the independence of the institution and the rule of law. It therefore urged all members of the judiciary to be calm and unruffled in the discharge of their duties. Meanwhile, the Interior Minister, Attorney General, and Minister of Justice have both dissociated the government and the NDC from the comments made against the judges. The two ministers said that necessary steps will be taken to guarantee the personal security of judges and protect the independence of the judiciary.
The Association of Magistrates and Judges has also condemned the utterances by discussants on an Accra FM station against members of the judiciary. The association said the comments were in bad taste. It therefore asked government to strengthen the judiciary to deal with such comments, as it urges members to dispense their duty without fear or favor, saying the association is working with government and the Judicial Council to ensure their safety. President of the Association, Justice Dennis Ajay, said this at a news conference by the association in Accra yesterday.
The Association of Magistrates and Judges of Ghana, AMJG, has listened to the utterances of two radio communicators on an Accra Munte 100.1 FM station, where they threatened to eliminate judges. This was on the eve of Matters Day. These utterances undermine rule of law and the independence of the judiciary, as contained in the 1992 Constitution of the Republic of Ghana. The utterances tend to put fear in the judges and magistrates of Ghana, who are vested with judicial power under the Constitution. The members of the Association of Magistrates and Judges of Ghana condemn these uncalled for utterances made in bad faith to undermine the administration of justice in our dear country, Ghana. The judiciary, as an arm of government, is crucial in this our democratic dispensation. It must therefore be strengthened and generously guarded by all and sundry. We assure all our members to continue to dispense justice according to law, as the executive of the association is working in conjunction with the Judicial Council and the government of Ghana to ensure the safety of all members. We hereby advise and appeal to all electronic and print media to be circumspect in their utterances and in what they print, to avoid undermining the independence and integrity of the judiciary.
That was the president of the Association of Magistrates and Judges, Justice Dennis Ajay.
And government has asked the security agencies to take firm action against persons whose utterances and actions threaten the peace, security and stability of the state. The government's order followed the recent use of abusive language by some individuals on judges and the Electoral Commission. A statement signed by the Minister for the Interior, Prosper Bani, condemned such utterances, which it said were offensive and irresponsible. It applauded the swift action taken by the BNI to investigate the panelists of an Accra-based radio station, saying it will ensure the safety and security of members of the judiciary. The statement takes note of the inflammatory language by MP for Asin North, Kennedy Japon, against the chairperson of the EC. It gave the assurance that there are measures to improve the personal security of the EC chairperson. Government said it will not shirk its responsibility to protect the peace and security of the country. The statement reminded media owners that they are subject to laws pertaining to national security, public order, the protection of reputations, and rights and freedoms of others.
And away from that, the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, has announced some reliefs by way of subsidies for all electricity consumers. The reliefs take effect from July 1 and have no retrospective effect. All residential customers who previously paid 67 pesos per unit for consumption of more than 50 units will now pay 34 pesos per unit for same purchases. The reliefs, according to the ECG, also affects commercial and industrial users and has nothing to do with its metering system that generated controversy recently. The general manager in charge of billing and revenue, Daniel Ajiman, announced this at a news conference in Accra. Georgia Sikri reports.
The six-sentence news release on tariff reliefs was presented on behalf of the managing director by the general manager in charge of billing and revenue at the ECG, Daniel Ajiman. He told journalists that the tariffs charged by the ECG has not changed. The government is only providing reliefs to customers, meaning government will bear the cost of what will be enjoyed by customers as reliefs.
The government of Ghana, after extensive consultation with all stakeholders of the power sector, has provided some reliefs by way of subsidies to all ECG customers. The reliefs have been applied to extend the lifeline rates to our residential customers instead of the previous application to only customers with consumption between 0 to 50 units within a month. Therefore, instead of the rates of 67 Ghana pesos per unit for the 50 units of consumption for all residential customers with consumption more than 50 units, the rate of 34 Ghana pesos per unit shall be applied. In the case of non-residential and industrial customers, some subsidies have been applied to the energy charges to reduce the total bill for such customers. Subsequently, a new reckoner which calculates the customer's total bill giving the units consumed has been put on the ECG corporate website. The reckoner will be deployed to all our regional and district offices.
The acting director of customer services, Ebenezer Baden, said customers have started enjoying the new reliefs, but was quick to add that consumers will realize the benefits after consuming more than 50 units. He explains further.
There is the energy charge, there is the street lighting levy, there is the rural electrification levy, we have the service charge. So these are all positive. The subsidies prevailing are in three parts. So we apply three different forms of subsidies, and then there's a net charge. If you know the units you are consuming, let's say 4 units, you have an energy charge of 1 CD 34 pesos. Then the public lighting levy is 0.07. Then you also have the national or rural electrification levy, also 0.07. Then service charge is 2 CD 13 pesos. The total is 3 CD 61 pesos. Then we have subsidies. So there is the first subsidy of 0.68 pesos, and then also the current relief we are talking about 0.12 pesos, 80 pesos. So you see the customer's total bill being 2 CDs 81 pesos. The reckoner will calculate it. It's up to 10,000 units.
Meanwhile, the chief executive officer of the Consumer Protection Agency, Kofi Kapitu, has described the reliefs as temporary. He called for a more sustainable formula of billing customers.
We will still see some increment. Automatic adjustment is still around. It kicks in every 3 months. So this is the middle of the month. I am sure sometime by September or maybe October, it's possible PURC will announce an increase.
The ECG asked customers who need further clarification to visit any of its offices.
Georgia Sikri reporting.
Meanwhile, an energy expert, Kwame Jamtua, says the new tariffs announced by ECG does not compensate consumers for the losses during the power crisis period. He told Agatha Samoa on Behind the News that the level of reduction should have been much higher than what was announced.
The whole electricity challenge with regards to getting the right fuel, with regards to bringing in alternative types of electricity, with regards to billing and with regards to subsidy, has been an emotive thing for Ghanaians, an emotion stuck to it because of the challenges it has brought to Ghanaians. And so I felt that once government had decided to subsidize and tell us the reason why, isn't it recently we were told that the privatization, or the kind of privatization we're trying to do with SDGs, it is based on some of the things that the Millennium Development Challenge had put forward. Wasn't subsidies one of the challenges that they had, that they didn't want government to subsidize anymore? So government had decided to subsidize. Where is the money going to come from? Because currently, we are facing challenges with the crude, with the liquid and the gas that would fire the equipment at Abuazi and all the IPPs that are in. So, I thought, government is saying, we are prepared to subsidize. This is how we are going to do it. Are they telling us that they are bucking the trend of the Millennium Challenge account? What they want them to do is to be telling us. I believe transparency is the key to everything we do, especially where electricity is concerned, because it affects everybody. And Ghanaians really and truly do not want to sleep in darkness anymore. So if you are introducing subsidy, tell us how it's going to happen. Because you know the situation where we think it's an election gimmick, and that after election, if it so happens that the NDP comes back into power, we go back for the people. We go back where we now withdraw the subsidy from us. Very clear.
You agree with those who say the move is politically motivated?
I don't agree. I'm just saying that if it's so, and they shouldn't start at all, because Ghanaians were getting used to not having the subsidy. If you are bringing the subsidy, tell us how you're going to retain those subsidies. Tell us, let us know. Where is the money going to come from?
Energy expert Kwame Jantua. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Catholic Bishops Conference, GGA, Judicial Council and others condemn alleged threats on the country's judges. Governments ask security agencies to crack down on persons who make vitriolic comments to maintain national security. Deputy Food and Agriculture Minister says Ghana's poultry is safe for consumption. Protesters in Zimbabwe clash with police, and former GFA Chairman Ben Kofi passes on.
And moving on, Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture in charge of livestock, Dr. Hannah Bisu, has appealed to people in a local poultry industry to have confidence in government as it takes steps to revamp the sector. She said government has invested in the industry to ensure that the bird flu menace is completely eradicated or reduced to the barest minimum. Dr. Bisu said this when she interacted with the media after visiting some selected border posts in the Volta region. Our reporter, Sally Fudabri, was with the minister.
The deputy minister's first point of call was the customs division of the Aflao border, where she interacted with senior officials of the Ghana Revenue Authority. The discussion centered on how best the GRA could discourage the importation of poultry products through the frontier. Dr. Bisu reiterated the need for Ghanaians, especially stakeholders in the industry, to assist to make it more viable. This will provide more jobs for the unemployed youth. The deputy minister and her entourage also visited the customs division of the GRA at Akanu in the Cape North district, where she interacted with the officers on the enforcement of the ban on the importation of poultry into the country to check the spread of bird flu.
The recurrent state of bird flu is that we are still in it. We've not been able to completely eradicate it. We are still fighting it. We suspect that some contaminated feed was smuggled out of a farm, and that is what is causing a sporadic outbreak. But as you say, under control, and we are praying that you continue to have it under control. There have been a number of feed outlets that we've locked. I think we've locked about 6 or 8 of them, because either sack of feed from a farm that was contaminated was smuggled from that farm to these outlets. We've had some in Greater Accra region, in the Eastern region. I think that some also the Ashanti too, that we've gone to also close up. We eventually will proceed to destroy whatever product that they have in there.
The Aflao sector commander of GRA, Augustine Adedekwe, assured the minister of compliance with the directives to ensure the safety of all Ghanaians.
We are here not only enforcing laws on revenue mobilization, but we are here also enforcing laws regarding public health and public safety. What we discuss is on public health, and so it behooves on us to ensure that those products that are not allowed into the country, we don't also allow them through the borders here, and that those who import those items should pass through the proper channel. They should go through courts of Tema and clear them there.
Madam Kwe advised all revenue collectors to be vigilant at all entry points into the country.
Sally Fudabri reporting. Contrary to speculation making rounds that poultry birds on the market are not safe for consumption due to the outbreak of bird flu, a Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Dr. Hannah Bisu, has allayed fears, saying the birds on the market are safe for human consumption. She said despite traces of bird flu on some farms, it has not affected birds on the market.
What I'm saying to all our Muslim brothers and sisters, I say assalamu alaikum and I say happy Eid al-Fitr. Wednesday I'm going to break the fast with my Muslim brothers. I'm going to enjoy my chicken. I'm going to enjoy eggs. I fast that they should get me some good akonfem as well. But what I want to tell my Muslim brothers is that it is very, very safe to eat chicken. Very, very, very safe and very healthy to eat the Ghanaian chicken. It's safe to eat it. It's very, very safe to eat a chicken, to eat a duck, to eat a turkey, to eat a egg. It's safe, completely safe. But still, our vet officers will be around, so testing and checking on the animals as we did for the Xmas. And you all realize that we had good Christmas, and I know that we're going to have good Eid.
The director of veterinary services, Dr. Kenneth Biddy, said poultry on the market are safe for human consumption.
The poultry we have been sold in the market, safe. There are no cigarettes being sold now. Most of the poultry is safe. They can buy poultry, especially those who want to eat poultry meat or eggs, they can buy. The message we give them that the meat must be well cooked, the egg must also be well cooked before they eat. That is the same. When, on the whole, the poultry we have in the country is safe to eat.
That was Director of Veterinary Services, Dr. Kenneth Biddy.
Now away from poultry issues, Ghana Brand has thrown its weight to calls for peace in Ghana towards the 2016 election and beyond. The national chairman of Ghana Brand, Elvis Mensah, said though conflict is part of human relations, what is of essence is managing it. Speaking at the unveiling of Election 2016 Peace Project in Accra, Mr. Mensah called on every citizen to join the crusade to preach peace everywhere. He advised politicians to respect the will of the people as will be expressed through the ballot. Frida Tanyo has more.
Ghana Brand, also known as our Ghana Heritage, has launched a campaign to promote peace during and after this year's election. Street hawkers and a cross-section of the public were drawn to the launch as T-shirts with peace inscription were distributed. The chairman, Elvis Mensah, advised the youth in particular not to allow themselves to be used to cause violence in the country.
We are also going to work hard to ensure that we do not send Ghana into a peacekeeping land. To turn a land into a peacekeeping center, do you know what it means? It means that we're going to have a bunch of people in a uniform, well-armed, well-built to come and protect the country from what is called supposedly chaos. When it happens like that, we lose our happiness, we live in fear and panic, and we lose our right of life because it's difficult coming out. I've seen it before in some other countries in Africa, and it is very important that we maintain and we protect that which we call.
The Communication Director of Ghana for Peace Campaign, Esther Kwesin, said the peace outreach is not in anticipation of war, but the need to sensitize Ghanaians, especially the youth, on the evils of conflict. She added that as part of their move, 6,000 T-shirts with peace inscriptions would be given out to street hawkers in Accra, Tamale, Cape Coast, Ko, and Sunyai.
Frida Tanyo filed that report.
Youth for Christ Heritage, an NGO, has advised the youth to resist the temptation of using social media to malign, attack and vilify people in authority. They should also desist from being used by politicians to cause mayhem as election 2016 approaches. The executive director of the NGO, Reverend Godwin Amuzu, told Radio Ghana that Ghana's democracy remains enviable in Africa, hence the need for all actors to ensure that it is sustained and improved upon. He called on politicians to think Ghana and the future of young people first in all they do in this electioneering period.
If social media is not used to harness the potentials, creativity, positive network and idea sharing of the youth, it will become the very tool that will destroy the social, moral, spiritual and academic fiber of our young people. You know, politicians are going out there campaigning. Sometimes the messages that are sent out do not promote social cohesion. They do not really address the socio-political issues that face us as a nation. Some of these platforms are used for vilification. They are used for character assassination. And that is what we spoke against at the rally. We encourage the young people to use social media productively, to use it constructively, so that this country will continue to enjoy the peace that we're enjoying during the elections and after. Because without peace and congenial atmosphere, our quest for rapid socio-political development will be undermined.
So whilst focusing on the youth, how about the main players, the politicians?
Of course, we are planning to get some platforms where these major politicians across the various constituencies will come and make a pledge towards, you know, the peace of our nation. We would want them to stress the need for peace and the need to ensure that the political campaign is done devoid of vilification, devoid of character assassination. We should focus on the issues that face us, unemployment.
That was the Executive Director, Youth for Christ Heritage, Reverend Godwin Amuzu, talking to George Asikri.
Lawyers for former National Youth Organizer of the PNC, Abu Ramadan, have filed an application opposing the list of persons who registered with NHIS card submitted to the Supreme Court. The Electoral Commission submitted the list on the orders of the Supreme Court. However, lawyers for Abu Ramadan have raised objections to the 56,000 names presented to the court. They claim the list is fictitious. The court therefore ordered the lawyers to file the application yesterday. Meanwhile, the court will today give its ruling on the application filed by Abu Ramadan, seeking clarification and further orders in respect of a judgment on his unit, on his suit, challenging the credibility of the voters' register.
And a protest by taxi drivers in Zimbabwe against a police crackdown turned violent when residents of the capital Harare joined in and held rocks at the police, who fired tear gas and water cannons to disperse the rioters. Taxi and minibus drivers, along with company owners, accused the police of corruption, saying they raise money for their operations by imposing hefty fines on them. Amid rising unrest over economic woes, Zimbabwe has witnessed spontaneous protests against government corruption, shortage of money, and plans to circulate local banknotes.
And on a rather sad note, former chairman of the Ghana Football Association, GFA, Ben Kofi, has passed on at the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital after a short illness. The 84-year-old played club football for Cornerstones and Ibusia Dwarves and represented the national side from 1957 to 58. After retiring as a player, Kofi became a coach of the national team, the Black Stars, and managed Zimbabwe from 1988 to 1992. He led Asante Kotoko to the Africa Club Championship in 1971 and Great Olympics to the semifinals a year later. He also coached Ivorian team Africa Sports and in Ghana Aquatex. Kofi moved on to become the technical advisor of the Zimbabwe Football Association in 1981 to 1982, technical director of the Botswana Football Association from 1992 to 2001, and president of the Ghana Football Association from 2001 to 2003. We've been joined on the line by our sports journalist, George Lati, for more on Ben Kofi. Thank you very much for joining us, George Lati.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
It is a rather sad day.
Mm-hmm. Another hero is gone home.
Tell us more about him.
I think Ben Kofi had a better part of his playing career, as well as being an administrator. As you rightly pointed out, he did coach the Black Stars and of course achieved very, very much as in a player and then as an administrator. It's so, I'm starting to hear such a news. But also then that I think Ben Kofi did his best for Ghana. He gave his all for Ghana, and he's one of the guys that we really must celebrate. Ben, one thing that I do remember about Ben Kofi, what is a 5-year development plan when he was in charge of the Ghana Football Association. I think that has gone a long way to help Ghana football. But Ben also, had his part, some part of him that, was a bit, got nothing to do with football, especially at times, excuse me to say, his temperament. I quite remember when he brought the Stars for one of their number of assignments at the airport where he fled out after journalists tried to harass him. Sports journalists, the journalists involved here in Ghana, they try to ask certain questions that, will make your temperament rise or will make you get a bit angry. That is one part that Ben Kofi, a negative part about Ben Kofi. But also then, I think he was one of the best guys here in Ghana in terms of our football.
Well, yes, of course. One thing I do remember him for is his assertiveness. He's always very assertive and, you know, very strict with his coaching skills. I do take that from my father. Anyway, thank you very much, George Latte, for your time with us.
Thanks.
All right, that was George Latte, a sports journalist, talking to us about the passing on of Ben Kofi.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The Catholic Bishops Conference, JJA, Judicial Council and others have condemned the alleged threat on the country's judges. Government has asked the security agencies to crack down on persons who make vitriolic comments to maintain national security. And former GFA Chairman Ben Kofi has died at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital after a short illness. The news was presented by Eugenia Sumedu-Sichi
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.